about a few years ago, and there were about
let's bring people. That mic a little closer to you, Barbara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
you,
it'll be
you
fun.
Were there in New York?
In Washington, D.C.
Oh, my gosh.
We took a group from my church.
Yeah.
And I said, I spent my vacations in, while I was in college in the D.C. area, so I knew the area very well. But I said to my friends, you need to go once in your lifetime to be there at the 4th of July. And just so happened that it worked into our itinerary. And it's fantastic.
Is it really?
It's an experience of a lifetime.
Yeah, the fireworks are just what they've done with the fireworks now. On TV, I looked at them going, what? They have been able to create things with fireworks that I can't believe anymore. There's effects like I've never seen. Mm-hmm. And all the, like you saw the people, it was so packed all the way, every single inch taken all the way through that whole area was crowded. And so it's quite a thing. It is. It's quite a wonderful thing. I'm sure you were really glad you did that, right?
It's a wonderful feeling just being with all of these American people and celebrating the birth of our nation. Was incredible.
Yeah, that's
was
wonderful.
Worth it.
Yeah. Okay, so there you go. Now you know what you got to do, Clarence. And Clarence was saying that you really, why don't you bring the mic just a tad closer to you there. Clarence was saying you like to travel a lot, but I know you did that trip to Israel. We're going to talk about that in the upcoming one. But I didn't realize you did a lot of traveling as well besides.
Well, I have done a lot of mission work in the South Pacific and the Asian area. But just recently, in the last 20 years, I went to Israel. And once you go as a Christian to Israel, you don't want to go anywhere else. Although I've been to Istanbul, and there in the book of Revelation, it gives the seven churches. So the seven churches happen to be in Turkey.
And I didn't know that.
And we've done the tour in Greece where St. Paul went.
In Corinthia.
In Corinth.
Corinth. I was there. I love Corinth.
It is beautiful.
That
everywhere.
Area where Paul actually preached from.
Yes.
It's amazing, and there's a lot of good structure still standing there.
Right, and then we took a cruise 2 years ago from Rome, because I'd never been to Rome, and we did a thing in Rome and went on a cruise through the eastern Mediterranean with all of the islands. Oh, it was beautiful, and for a Christian, it's historical, too, because a lot of Christian sites are there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did some good ones, absolutely. Well, I know you came last year and you talked to us. And just as a proper introduction, a lot of people know you from the Door of Faith Church that's down on Lower Beach Road.
Right. Our name has changed to Faith in Jesus Church.
Faith in Jesus
recently.
Church now,
yes.
Yeah.
And we have a family, kind of a community feeling in our church. We feel like Paulo with a lot of needs is our assignment from God to try to improve and help the people there. But we have people from all over the island.
Yeah, you've been doing it a long time.
Oh, yes. My father had been pastor for 45 years,
wow.
Right after the Second World War, when he became a Christian. And then I've been, now we counted it up, I've been like senior pastor for the last 25 years.
Oh, my
helping
gosh.
Helping him, and then, yeah.
So 60-some plus years.
I'm a fixture.
And you've seen the changes.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I mean, gosh, seeing all the changes since then. So you grew up, you were born on the island?
I'm born in Maui. Right behind Kitagawa Service Station is where we lived until we moved to Paukahal next to our church.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
The Kitagawas were there a long time as well, right?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, doing good work. Well, you did this amazing journey last year. I remember you took how many people with you?
We had about 20 people that went with us. We went from the northern part of Israel. We did a little longer than the usual tour because some of the people were aged, and they said, we probably go only once, we want to see it all. So we went from northern Israel, the reserve in Dan, to the Golan Heights. They even have a valley called Hula Valley, very fertile area.
Really?
And then all the way down to Eilat, to southern Israel, to the Red Sea. So some of us swam in the Med, the Dead, and the Red Sea. The Mediterranean, the Dead Sea, and the Red Sea.
It's really not that big a country, but it's really got a lot of variety as far as the different terrain, right?
Well, you put Hawaii all together, and Israel is just slightly bigger in land area than Hawaii put together.
But it's got everything from the lush to the desert, right?
everything. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Which was your favorite part, Barbara?
Well, for the Christian, I think Jerusalem is always the favorite because mm-hmm. important things happen in Jerusalem. Around the Sea of Galilee, because Jesus did most of his ministry touching ordinary people's lives around the Sea of Galilee. Mm-hmm. When we go, we usually do a wedding renewal in Galilee, in Cana of Galilee, where Jesus performed his first miracle at a wedding feast. And then we have a baptism in the River Jordan as it flows down to the toward the Dead Sea.
Do you do the whole group or just certain people have the baptism there?
Everybody who wants
everyone
to.
Who does.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We have time
and
for that.
And then you have to have special permits and be
no,
able to do that? They
it's
allow
all
people?
Set up. It's all set up because there are a lot of tour groups. And the amazing thing last year was we didn't see too many American groups, but we saw a lot from India, from China, from Korea, and the Philippines.
Interesting. We were just saying we're seeing, they were just, Clayton and Clarence, I'm sorry, Clarence and Cheryl were saying they're seeing more world travelers all around.
Yes.
And I was just mentioning, I'm seeing, we said yeah, more Chinese people traveling and more people from India traveling.
Yes.
And I just think they're very, for a long time they weren't able to, and it was kind of pent up, and now they're able to. I think they're just hungry for this experience, you know. And your whole trip was how long again?
2 weeks. Actually, 2 weeks. About, with travel time, about 16 days.
And so you, after flying there, you just get one tour bus and just do it, or do you just do a tour bus all the way?
We have a tour guide, and we're... the tour guide stays with us. I was fortunate as one of my good friends, Israeli friends, has a travel agency, and she did the tour for us and picked the best tour guide that she had. And so they meet us at the airport, and she was smart enough. We had the worst part of the trip was flying nonstop from San Francisco to Tel Aviv.
That's a lot.
In 14 hours.
Wow.
But she was smart enough to give us a whole day off the next day,
good.
So we could sleep in and go swimming and lie on the beach before we started the tour. So
that
was
long,
really great.
It's a long flight.
It's
14
a long
hours.
Flight. Yes,
that'd be one of the longest flights ever. Have you ever flown 14 hours, Kathy? I don't
think
I've flown 14.
I think 11 is the longest.
Yeah, 14 is a lot. What airline? Do you remember what airline?
United Airlines.
And they do that long flight.
Well, they do. Yes, and that was the cheapest way to go because United flies from Maui too. So if you go on
they
one
fly
airline,
from Maui to.
Well, from Maui to Los Angeles. I mean, San Francisco.
In San Francisco.
And we overnighted there and then took United. So with that one airline thing, it brought the cost down. We try to keep it, although it's longer than most, to about $5,000, all inclusive. Hotel,
that's
guides, tours.
That's very good.
Food
and
included.
And that's the air, too?
Air, hotel.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Now, you're doing a Hanaho.
Yes. We are... And we were going to, you know, after last year's trip, I had an evaluation meeting, and everybody who went says it was a perfect trip. We went in the fall, and the weather was wonderful, and the people got along, and the sights were just amazing, and the guide was great, and the hotels were great, the food was terrific. And so we said, how are we going to, you know, make it better? And then my friend, who is now a professor at Oral Roberts University, he is a history professor. He's also the director of Israeli and Middle Eastern Affairs there at the university, and he was a house guest. And his son, who lived there too.
And which university was this?
Oral Roberts University in Tulsa.
Huh.
And he was here just recently, so he looked over my perfect itinerary, and he says, you know, there's some sites I'd like to include that you haven't been to and eliminate some of the sites that may not be as interesting to biblical scholars. And this group that wants to go really want to go more to the biblical sites rather than the Israeli historical sites. But he also said that it happens to be the 70th birthday of Israel, so they're going to have a big celebration.
Oh, my.
And it coincided with the time we had chosen, which is right after Easter next year. Easter is going to be on April the 1st, so it's the right time. We're going to plan to leave on April the 3rd and come back about the 20th, the 21st, and he has connections there, so we're going to be involved in the celebration.
Almost 3 weeks?
Almost. It's a little over 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
But we're still going to try to keep it about $5,000.
Well, that sounds fascinating.
Yeah, but we And the more people that go, the cheaper it's getting. So we are hoping that we'll have a lot of people. We're aiming for about 45 at least. If we get 45, it'll be about 4,500,
hopefully.
That's
amazing for that long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're not going to stay in the five-star hotels where a lot of tour groups stay, but my friend chose wonderful hotels. There are a couple of hotels. We changed hotels about four times. And a couple of places we had to drag our own luggage because they don't have, you know, the borders and all the services, but they were clean, beautiful. The view was terrific. And so we keep the expense down like that. And they're so experienced, and they know me well, so they do me some favors,
so
too.
So did you have the things? When I did stay in Israel, I was at the King David, but I was not prepared for the fact that on Friday and Saturday, Friday night, I guess, you can't have the elevators. And,
right.
You know,
cause they have special elevators.
They do, because of the way...
They observe Shabbat very religiously.
They do.
They do. This
yeah.
is part of their life. And so everything shuts down. We get cold cuts at the hotel and minimal service because everybody's observing Shabbat. And the elevator, the Jews go on one elevator that they don't have to press a button. It stops on every floor. So they designate us to a certain elevator, and then we can go up and down.
Wow.
Very interesting. Just the customs. And then the old city is like stepping back 2,000 years.
It absolutely is. And there is this something about time and space. There is this energy in Jerusalem that is incomparable with anything else. There's no way you can ever say it was duplicated anywhere else.
Everybody who's traveled anywhere, when they go to Israel, they say the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
I really think everyone should go see it, because you do sense the importance of that site. And, of course, then you understand, of course, about the history and the wars and what have happened because of the importance of that site. And did you ever feel, it was a long time ago, but there were warnings, of course, State Department's warnings and things. But the way you hear about what's going on there is pretty scary. But when you go there, I mean, I didn't really feel at danger when I was there at all. Did you?
You know, Americans, I think, don't go because they're fearful. Because when we were recruiting, people say, oh, it's too scary, I don't want to go. And yet you see all of these from all the other countries go. When you go there, for one thing, both sides, the Palestinians and the Israeli side, need the tourists. Business.
That's a good point.
So we're really protected.
Yeah.
And so if you're with a group, you're really safe. If you go as an individual and wander, then things can happen. Uh-huh. But it's no more dangerous than living in a big city. We feel safer in Jerusalem than we do in New York City or San Francisco or even Honolulu sometimes. But, you know, they're on guard for you. They have great security. I've gone many times and never felt fear. For one thing, even when it seemed like it was dangerous outside and the political things were heating up, the guides and our travel agency would be in touch with security. So if there was an incident, let's say in the north, then we would switch our schedule and go somewhere else. And soon the emphasis would be, you know, somewhere else. And there's so many things to see. So if they think it might be a little unsafe, we go somewhere else. But we've never, ever had any problems. And the State Department, of course, if things really heat up internationally, they will warn us and tell us we couldn't go. I have, in fact, Dr. Swills, who was my house guest, was the week before they were supposed to go when the 1967 war broke out, and their trip was canceled. Postponed until that six-day war was over. Then they went the next month. But the State Department, of course, will warn if there's something imminent like that.
You know, I was talking with, we were talking about cruises, and Kathy, remember, Celebrity used to do that on a pretty regular basis. There was that trip to Israel. But part of the problem is they would go to Turkey and then on down. And when Turkey got dropped because it got too dangerous with terrorism, they kind of changed some of the whole routes around, and I'm not seeing all the trips to Israel that I used to see being offered.
No,
are you?
They stopped it for a little bit and then came back, but Turkey is
dropped.
Kind of effective. A few years ago, I was going to go to Tunisia, and then something happened, and they rerouted us to like Sardinia. So they look out for you.
Yeah, yeah.
They do. And Istanbul is so beautiful.
I know, it's
we're trying
sad.
To find.
I've never
we're
been
trying
there.
To find a cruise, an extension cruise for those who've been to Israel before who want to go on a cruise after that, to go on the footsteps of St. Paul. And we're hoping to find one that we can go from Istanbul, because that is my second favorite city.
It I would like
so
to go on
amazing.
Something like that. Because I've never been
you
there.
You need to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I really wouldn't be worried about going there, but it is a high security place because it's a place a lot of people who are terrorists go in and out of. So that's why I think they get really nervous about it. And it would be heavy-duty security. If you do go now, you can be sure. I don't know what would happen. I think it's one of the travel ban. No, maybe not.
Well, I think right now there's a State Department of the whole world.
Yeah, so, that's right. It's not safe hardly anywhere.
Yeah, but so, that would be amazing. Because, I mean, like you said, I'm so glad you went to Corinth. I didn't expect to feel that energy in Corinth that I did, and I didn't realize how large an area was. But if people go to Greece, and you got to try to go down to Corinth, and it was totally open. You can wander around these grounds. It's not like it's policed and there's security. You just wander through acres and acres of these beautiful sites. And it's really wide open. And I mean, I was really, I didn't expect that, you know. And it would be interesting to follow. I mean, I got a book when I was there about how Paul's first group was actually there in Corinth. How St. Paul really formed his first group right out of that area and then traveled back and forth to there, but felt always very close to that, his first group in Corinth.
Two of his letters in the Bible are addressed to the Corinthian church.
Which are my favorite passages, actually.
The love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Yep.
A classic.
It is.
Passages written to the church there in Corinth. But so historical, and I'm a history major myself, so I love
that
area.
Oh, you are? Oh, okay. So this next trip, tell us the cities and when they have to sign up for your next trip to Israel.
Well,
you said it's April 3rd?
The 3rd. And we've already, this last Saturday, we had our first meeting, and we already got about 15 or 20 people committed to going. And we're going to hit mainly northern Israel, going to the sites where Jesus sailed the Sea of Galilee. We're going to have a boat ride there.
Oh, you are?
We're going to Capernaum, which was his like his headquarters of ministry, and the Mount of the Beatitudes.
Oh, that's nice.
And it's just beautiful. It's standard there. And then we go and have lunch on the Sea of Galilee, and they teach, they serve us St. Peter's fish, which is tilapia.
Really? Really?
The first trip I went, they only served tilapia, okay? But then, you know, the Americans who don't like to see the head and the tail on the plate.
Yeah.
And the next trip I went, they had pizza and tilapia. They gave us a choice.
Now, did Jesus eat the pizza too?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think they serve pizza there, okay. but it was fun.
Well, maybe it was sacred bread. You never know. I mean, you know, you don't know what we did with the bread, but no. So that's you get to wander in that whole area. Then you go when you go from there.
We went to Nazareth also this
last
time. I was
going to ask that, Nazareth, yeah.
And a lot of places that are holy sites, they build like a church over it, and it's modernized, and the tourists go there. But because I had been to Nazareth several times, I wanted to do something different. So we went to a place that is replicated, like how Jesus, when Jesus lived, a little town outside of Nazareth. That was very interesting. And we're going to do another one south of Jerusalem this time, which is going to take us to that first century where the Romans were still there, and they're going to have people, you know, dressed like and doing things like they did in Jesus' time. And they call it a live museum. I forgot the Israeli name for it, but it's some place I haven't been. And another place that I haven't been is En Gedi, which is a beautiful reserve, and it's got beautiful waterfalls and... And,
is that in the north?
In the south. It's near the Dead Sea. So we're planning to spend at least a night in the Dead Sea area. One of the highlights of one of my trips was overnighting near the Dead Sea and having in the hotel for the show Fiddler on the Roof in Yiddish. Wasn't that incredible? It was just really something. It was a real nice surprise. But wow. Yeah, we really enjoyed it.
I remember the caves where you can actually go to the area where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Qumran.
Qumran was very interesting energy in those hills.
Yes.
That was very mystical energy in those hills. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could sense something, you know, in those places. And they found more, because I did that trip almost 18 years ago. I think they found more scrolls since then, haven't they?
They keep finding, relics and scrolls, and they have it in a museum now.
There was a museum in Jerusalem when I was there, but I don't know if they have another
one. Museum of the Book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just formed like a Dead Sea Scrolls. It's kind of rounded place.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you can buy little miniature Dead Sea Scrolls in jars as gifts, which is kind of cool. I remember that. I remember it was actually a pretty impressive place. So, I mean, I'm number one impressed by the fact that, you have a really great price on this. I mean, if you're including your airfare, because the airfare would be at least about $1,500, $2,000.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you're including your food and your hotel lodging.
Entrance fees, tax, tip,
for two
everything.
Weeks. That's an amazing deal.
It really is.
I'm very tempted to go.
Oh, we would love to have you come. I'm recruiting happy, healthy tourists.
Yeah.
I said, I don't want anybody grumpy because I don't want anybody's tour to be spoiled because I have traveled with grumpy people. That spoils the whole thing, And
how do you know if you're recruiting happy, healthy people or grumpy people?
Because,
you can tell, huh?
No, because I have classes before.
Oh, okay.
So I'm starting classes. The first time I went as a tourist, And so I go, wow, that's great, whatever. Came back and thought, oh, boy, I don't remember too many things about it. And then I studied and went back. And then the third time, I had a group of people. We studied for a year and a half.
Wow.
So it was like our class project to go to Israel.
Wow.
After we studied archaeology, history, and that's my major, so I love that. But we're going to have classes the second Saturday of every month until then.
Yeah.
And we're going through our itinerary. And we're inviting people who may not be able to go because of health or finances, because you will feel like you visited there.
Yeah.
I want my class and my tourists to feel like that they've been there before when they get there and see.
How do people sign up? We have about a minute left.
They can call me at 276-1005.
276-1005.
Our Faith in Jesus Church at 244-1286.
Wow.
But we're still recruiting, and the more people that go, the cheaper it's going to get. It may be even, less than $5,000.
That's amazing. Well, Kathy, it's been wonderful, and thank you so much. And I'm so glad that you came in, Cheryl, and it's so good to see you, Clarence, again. And we're going to have to hear about your trip to Machu Picchu and down there to Lima and wherever you land up down there.
And the Queen Mary.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's going to be wonderful. And thank you so much, Barbara. Until next week, happy travels.